The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot, the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Get in your car, he got a dot of no bar.
Hello, and welcome to episode 120 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host this week, Don DeLaRente. You can follow me on Twitter at Don DeLaRente. I'm joined, as always, by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Ms. Dee Dee Jonet.
Hey, friends.
What's going on, Dee Dee?
Life. And your alternative president.
So-called president?
Hashtag not my president.
And we're also joined this week by a special guest, a first-time guest. You can find him at the Sports Fan Journal. He's none other than Ed the Sportsman.
Business is officially picking up. What's happening, everybody?
What's going on, man? What's going on?
Oh, man, you know, we out here trying to be stressed trying to not be stressed with presidential relations, trying to not be stressed with Kevin Wayne Durant bringing his talents back to Oklahoma City, and trying to not be stressed about how much money I'm going to be spending for Valentine's Day weekend shenanigans. So, you know, we just living a stress-filled life in the year of our Lord 2017.
Oh, okay. Well, here at the CSPN, we might have a live read later on that could help you out for that.
Okay, cool. Perfect.
So, as always, with our first-time guests, we have to find out a little bit about your origin story. You know, what made you a wrestling fan, what you grew up watching, what kept you a wrestling fan if you, you know, had to let it go a little bit, and we've always been down. So just kind of lay that on us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I grew up in a household where, you know, all the men in my family, of course, love sports, but none of the men in my family really were wrestling fans. But the only person in my family who really was a big time wrestling fan, believe it or not, was my grandmama. And my grandmama was definitely of the belief that Dusty Rhodes was like one of the sexiest things of like all time, which is really weird to have like an old black woman from Delaware talking about she loved her some Dusty Rhodes, especially since Dusty Rhodes basically stole the gimmick of like everybody's black uncle from the 70s and 80s, which is awesome and incredible. So, you know, I was birthed into wrestling by Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair. I think Macho Man was probably definitely like the one that just got me to pay attention, because who doesn't love someone who's on cocaine giving promos on Saturday mornings? And then, you know, but then, you know, y'all have to understand that I am also half Puerto Rican, and the first time I saw Razor Ramon, I'm like, he's clearly Puerto Rican, although I didn't realize he had the highest levels of caucasity as anybody in wrestling. So, but it didn't matter, because I was like 8 years old, and I was totally with it. So, you know, that was probably my evolution into wrestling, following Scott Hall and Razor Ramon and Macho Man. And then, you know, I remember being really enamored by, of all people, like Booker T, just because, like, reasons. And you know, wrestling kind of just came for me from there. Like, I think, like, everybody had their ups and downs with wrestling. I think me being in high school and college, my wrestling fandom kind of wavered some, just because girls and pimples and sports and stuff like that. And then, you know, I kind of came back to it, and it's weird that the last probably 5, 6, 7 years of my life, like, wrestling's actually been a good reprieve. As some of you guys might know, I'm big into sports. That's what I do for my daily. So, you know, wrestling ends up being some type of getaway for me, so I can just tell everybody that the New Day rocks. And my girlfriend thinks that all of those dudes are gay, and I just can't explain to them why they're dope. She still doesn't get it.
Gasp.
Well, if she keeps watching long enough, maybe WrestleMania will suck her in, and she'll understand. She'll get it one day.
Well, the good thing is here's the thing. She loves all the divas. I mean, she's all about the diva life. I mean, she's here for the Bella. She's here for Natty. She's here for, you know, all the girls on there whatsoever. But then Sasha Banks ain't on there. And I tell her, like, yo, Sasha Banks is the biz. And she's like, who's that? And I just be like, dang, I got, like, years and eons to go before I get her to understand where I'm coming from. So we're probably doomed, but nevertheless, we'll figure out how to go from here.
All right. Awesome origin story. So going from here, we're going to jump into Monday Night Raw. So we've got a jam-packed episode live from Portland, Oregon. Oh, so it starts with the video recap, the last week's angle between Triple H and Seth Rollins. Then they flash to the ring. Steph and Mick Foley out there. Mick Foley's got the boo-boo face. He announces that, you know, they got a new free agent, and his name is Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe comes down in the suit. Let's get a fashion cast moment, Dee Dee. What'd you think about Samoa in the suit?
I love Samoans as they come, you know, lanky or more squat.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Samoa Joe doesn't really have a neck.
Mm.
So, yeah. Okay. But moving on. Like the pants weren't too long. Like, it fit. It's just, he don't got no neck.
It looked like he got the Platinum Edition Joseph A. Banks suit. and it came with the tie pre-match and everything. And he looked like everybody's favorite Samoan Mafia member. Like, he looked ready to. Yeah.
He definitely looked like the right-hand man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one
yeah.
comes to see you when you all about 10K. Yeah.
like he said to MVP once, MVP said that Joe has told him he's never been in any street fights. He's been in some assaults. So, yeah, that's what he looks like he was ready to do. So he comes down to the ring. Stephanie, you know, gives him the proper introduction that she feels is necessary with all the gusto and grandeur. And then he signs his contract and he puts the locker room on notice. And he says that, you know, he's going to bury all our heroes. And when they come up again to challenge him again, he's going to put them back down again. And then Dee Dee's favorite, Roman Reigns, comes out. Roman cuts a promo, you know, introduces himself and tells him basically that once he signed the contract, that now he stepped in his yard and he's the baddest man on Raw or WWE. They have an epic stare down, and then Foley does his job and makes a match between the two of them for later in the night. Thoughts, concerns on the opening segment?
You know what, man? It's always really fascinating to watch Roman Reigns because, like, of course, of the babyface heel dynamic / non-dynamic of just people, like, generally loathing and hating him. But, like, one of these days, I just keep watching him. I'm just like, it's going to flip for him one day. It's going to flip for him one day. And then he just, like, says some other, like, really robotic promo, and it's just like, oh, yeah, I see why these people want to, like, you know, hang you in effigy outside the arena. And it's just really sad because every woman on earth seems to really love him some Roman Reigns, including my girlfriend, which further causes me concern about the future of our relationship. But, you know, it's just like, this should be like a Samoan celebration of sorts, right? I mean, we should have, you know, the Usos on the, you know, on the, as lumberjacks, and we should have, you know, all the Inouye family, and we should have Yokozuna doing a seance outside the ring or something. It'd be really great. And then, like, I didn't get to see one Samoan drop, and it was just like, that match was just to say that we did it, and like, that was the end of it. So, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with Samoa Joe for no other reason. And that, you know, the man's like 40 some years old. Like, he's already an old dude, and I want to see what kind of, if they try to give him, like, a legitimate run to, like, build some actual heat around him, because I think he could do it, but I just feel like with where the roster is right now, I'm curious if they just use him to get other people over, because his time on the shelf might not be that long.
That'd be interesting. Dee Dee, did you like all the Samoanness on your screen?
It was very island-ish. Mm. Islandery, that's not really an adjective, is it? But yeah, no, I liked it aesthetically.
Pina coladas for everybody, yes.
Can we?
No, I mean, like, why not?
Yeah. I'm trying to have a WrestleCast, like, what you call it when you go places for work, like a conference.
Okay, yeah.
In Puerto Rico.
Oh. Like,
we don't gotta really do no work. I just want to drink.
I mean, you know, Cuba Libre's and Mofongo for everybody in Puerto Rico. We can do it. Yeah. Tostones, plantains, you know.
And now you're making me sad. I can't really have these things. Hold on.
Okay, I'm sorry. there's the beach. Does that bring you back? Okay.
I'm saying it gets everywhere. Gets in the and in the feet.
Yeah, crevices. Yeah.
The crevices. Yeah, you get it.
No boy.
So we're gonna keep it Samoan as our first match is Bayley versus Nia Jax because she's not like most girls.
She is not.
Bayley runs Nia to the post a couple of times. She almost gets a count out win. But then, of course, none other than Charlotte comes down. She distracts the referee, Bayley gets rid of her, knocks her off the apron. Then Nia recovers and gives Bayley a stumbling drop, and she gets the win. So you can take a drink for your distraction finish, D.
Oh, by the way, I'm drinking lemonade and vodka.
Sounds awesome.
Is it? Yes.
The pink lemonade?
It's still the same one. So it's Newman's Own. You know, with the pulp.
The high dollar.
Yes.
And they give some of the money back to the community. Yes.
It does, because Newman cares.
Newman cares. Yes. The only Newman I respect is Victor Newman from As the World Turns, because he was the original OG pimp, though.
Yes. Newman was a big deal, yes.
Yeah, and I'd even go so far to say he was one of the original definitions of sexy in the 80s. I was 4 years old, and I knew he was a handsome man. I knew that.
Because the beard, not the beard, he had a mustache.
He had the mustache. He was in the
black hair. Yes.
Yeah, he was like Tom Selleck's, young uncle. Yeah,
absolutely that. Tom Selleck was handsome, too. Don is like, what are we talking about?
Oh, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, Victor Newman's a bad man.
Yes.
I love that y'all know about that. That's so cute.
Oh, man. Let's blame my grandmother. My grandmother made me who I am.
I was in charge of the VCR, making sure that happened every week for my mom to watch it on the weekends. What are you talking about?
Yeah, man. Victor Newman was giving up all the game. One thing about Nia Jax, and I understand, like, trust me, if I'm bringing down the rent, the property value of this podcast, just let me know. But I've been dying to have a conversation with somebody about this. And Didi, you seem like the perfect person. Why does Nia Jax have to dress like she is a member of, like, Vegeta's crew on Dragon Ball Z? I mean, I know
you don't like her onesie?
I mean, look, I like girls with meat on their bones. Like, that's just what I like. I like curves. I like them, you know, with some juice. And she seems like, you know, like in a different time of my life, she might have been in my lane. But at the same time, like, that curb appeal ain't got nothing to it right now. It just looks like, you know.
You don't find the onesie aesthetically pleasing to your eye.
No, and I also understand, like, should it be, there's also that conversation of, like, is it sexist? Like, does she need to be appealing and the outfit be appealing for me to watch? Because I like watching her wrestle. So, yeah. But I just feel like, it feels like a fashion faux pas. I guess that's really what I'm trying to say.
And my thing is, you want your wrestlers, male and female, they should look right in their clothes. And I think they don't know what to do with her, so they want to put her in something that compresses her. And then they try to, like, create a shape with the pattern, but it's all very tacky.
Right.
Like, I get what they're doing. They're not doing it the best way. Like, she might just be better served to be in, like, some leggings and a tank top, but, you know.
She should just come in, like, her boyfriend's sleep attire. Like, if she came in there in a tank top and some, like, hoop shorts and some Jordan socks and, like, flip-flops, like, I would be, like, championing her to be wearing the belt. I'm just saying.
So, really, you want her dressed in, like, her John Cena special?
I mean, maybe not jean shorts, though, but, like...
But, like, the cargo shorts?
Like, no, like, the Kevin Owens hoop shorts. Like, Kevin Owens hoop short game is, like, I would wear them. I would wear the KOs on Saturday morning pickup. I really would. I feel like maybe that ain't what it is either, but, like, maybe, like, kind of sort of boy shorts-ish. Like, I feel like there's a lane there. It's just, like, but what this is now is, like...
There are options. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I don't want to dwell on it, but, like, they're not very imaginative when it comes to anybody's outfits, really, except Naomi's.
So she has probably full control of that.
Yeah.
Well, and she's selling her soul. I'm so frustrated with her right now. I'm sorry. I was telling Don this earlier.
We'll get there.
Please do.
So we got Strowman versus the Jobber Squad. He had four jobbers. Well, and then turned into three because one got smart and he ran away.
Genius.
He basically dismantles them, stacks all three of them up, pins them. And then he says he's coming to find Mick Foley. He gets to the back. He tells Foley that Foley's idea of competition was whack. Strowman says that he wants to face everyone. So Foley says he's going to make a match between him and Roman Reigns at Fastlane. Kira Tozawa beats Drew Gulak with a snap German suplex.
Now, is he a big deal or is he just a new guy?
Kira Tozawa is going to be a big deal. He should be, yes. He's really good. He was one of the standouts in 205.
See, I knew you knew, so I felt like I should ask.
Yes. Then we get the best friend segment, Owens and Jericho. They're doing an in-ring promo. Jericho proposes a match between the best friends at WrestleMania. Owens says that he didn't know about that, didn't know if he can fight his best friend. Then all of a sudden, Goldberg comes out. Goldberg uncannily puts himself on the list, takes it from Jericho, writes his own name down. Then he challenges Kevin Owens. Jericho steps up, makes it look like he's going to try to make a match between himself and Goldberg, but in the meantime, actually accepts the match for Kevin Owens, and so now they're going to have a match at Fastlane. And he also accepted, Goldberg did accept Brock's challenge to wrestle at WrestleMania. So give me your thoughts on Goldberg, how they've used him in his time back, and what you think about this title match with Kevin Owens.
Yeah, man. Like, is it just me? Like, I appreciate the WWE for paying respect to the senior citizenship of Goldberg by not making this man walk from the visitors' locker room, from the nether regions, the boiler room of the arena, to have to actually walk in the arena. Like, I remember you'd have to wait like 3 minutes before he got to the ring for real. And like, you know, now it's like a nice leisurely like 45 seconds. Like, I'm glad that, you know, they're helping him get his cardio back. You know, they're not necessarily having him run a 5K to get to the ring. That's all cool. And as far as him and Kevin Owens, I think it's just fun. Like, I look at Fastlane, and we'll talk about Elimination Chamber in a little bit, but, you know, these two pay-per-views get to be loose and fun, and it's the one time where WWE gets a legitimate chance to literally try and surprise us, because I think this is the time where we say, like, everything's starting to come into place. Like, we think that Bray Wyatt's probably going to get Luke Harper, and Cena's going to get Randy Orton, and Goldberg is now getting Lesnar, and, like, Triple H and Rollins, like, they're setting all of those up to kind of, you know, line it up, and they can kind of throw us a curveball, you know, and I like that. So, I don't know if that means that I doubt that any belts will get swapped. Goldberg doesn't need the strap. But at the same time, like, it would be really cool if Goldberg eviscerated Kevin Owens in, like, 48 seconds again. Like, if that was his new thing, is that if he gets in the ring with you during a pay-per-view, it's ending quickly, which is, I think, for those on the East Coast, is probably a great thing, because y'all stay up till like, midnight watching some of these pay-per-views. So, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just looking forward to hopefully it being fun. And, you know, I'll have body goals with Goldberg so I can stay in the gym and try to be him when I grow up.
So we got DD's favorite tag team, second favorite tag team, excuse me, Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Good Brothers, Anderson and Gallows, for the Raw tag team titles. The Good Brothers win by DQ after Gallows super kick Enzo, who was sitting at ringside with Big Cass as they were wanting to challenge the winners. And Big Cass gave Gallows big boot in retaliation, and that caused the official disqualification, and the Good Brothers retained the titles. Then we get DD's favorite tag team, the New Day, versus the Shining Stars, aka the Scammers. Xavier and Big E are tag team duo tonight. They win with the Midnight Hour. Then we get another backstage promo with Owens and Jericho. They look like they're having some problems. Kevin Owens is like, "You don't have my back, you know, by accepting that match." Jericho's like, "Man, I've been there. I've taken this from, you know, Roman Reigns. I've taken spears. I've taken, you know, Superman punches. I've been held over the ring. I've always had your back, so just trust me." And then we get Chris Jericho versus Sami Zayn for the United States Championship. Jericho gets the win with the Codebreaker after Owens gave Sami a super kick when he was hanging over the ropes. I know this hurt your soul, DD, to see this Sami Zayn that come up with the title this time.
I mean, they disrespect him almost always.
True.
That one pay-per-view I was at. So, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
One time to Sami Zayn, standing up for the Muslim community and telling them that not all Muslims look alike. I know that's not necessarily within the ring, so to speak, as far as commentary is concerned, but I was appreciative to see Sami Zayn do that. I thought that was pretty cool. So shout out to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And shout out to the, you know, courts for making sure the Constitution is still upheld.
Oh, that's a thing. Yeah, it's a thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually doing a job.
Yeah.
So then we get probably the most disrespectful part of Raw, where Charlotte find Sasha in the training room and basically just walks around her and tells her that, you know, she basically ended her career, that all she does now is spend time in the training room, that she couldn't even come out there to help Bayley when Nia Jax was destroying her. And, you know, Bayley took that butt whooping because, you know, she was back here on the training table and she didn't think that roadblock, end of the road, would be the end of Sasha Banks' career. Sasha Banks ain't say nothing. It's kind of disappointing.
She didn't say anything.
It's Black History Month.
Well, wait, have we established that they know that she's Black?
Uh-oh.
They better have.
She is from Boston. I mean, you know, that is MAGA country up there.
You know how we know our own, but do they know? Like, did she tell them? Maybe she didn't tell them.
Maybe not. Maybe because they see her mom and her mom's Mexican.
Wait, here's how you know. Has she been in those previews for the Black History Month things?
Not yet.
See? Then they don't know.
They don't. They don't know.
Well, Mark Henry been holding it, and Titus Young been holding it down for Black History Month since 99.
And well, I saw Alicia Fox doing something, but I haven't seen her.
When they listen to the podcast this week amongst the Press On podcast, they'll hear that and ask her.
Yeah.
And get it right. So then we get Austin Aries in a ring with Neville. He's about to have a promo. All the five challenges of a Fatal 5-Way that's going to take place in 205 come out. So that's TJ Perkins. What's your gimmick, Didi?
I'm a grown-ass woman.
Right. Yeah. And then Cedric Alexander, Dak Gallagher, Graham Dar, Tony Nese, they all come out. It all leads to a big brawl. TJ Perkins hits a big dive, followed by Nese doing the Fosbury flop. Cedric hits a tope con hero. Neville hits the ropes, but stops short just to taunt everybody. And so that's going to lead to a six-man. Cedric Alexander, Jack Gallagher, TJ Perkins versus Neville, Noam Dar, Tony Nese. Neville leaves his partners, which Didi distracts them and causes Nese to get hit with a detonation kick. Cedric tags in, hits Noam Dar with a springboard clothesline, followed up by the lumbar check, and his team gets the win.
I just wanted to say kudos to you. That was an impressive rundown. Like your linguistic ability to thoroughly enunciate all of those special moves and those names in such an eloquent fashion. I just want to pay homage and say tip to you.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, Don is kind of a big deal.
He is. Yeah, he's a legend out here in these streets.
In my own mind. We have Jericho declaring next week is going to be the Festival of Friendship to show the greatness of his and Kevin Owens' bond. Then we have our main event, Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe. Joe does the same thing he did to Seth Rollins last week. He attacks Roman as he's coming down during his entrance. Match goes on. Actually, Samoa Joe's getting the best of him, but then Roman finally turns it around. He's going for the spear when Braun Strowman comes out. Roman knocks him off the apron. When Roman turns around, Joe catches him in the STO, and he gets the win. After the match, Braun runs into Roman with the stairs. Then he power slams Roman through the barricade, and the show goes off with Roman Reigns laid out and Braun Strowman victorious. I thought that was a good Raw.
It definitely was an interesting Raw. I mean, I'm always thinking about like what, you know, of course I'm like thinking about implications, but then like, you know, the thing about Samoa Joe is interesting is like you get that element of like old school wrestling. And you get some of those slower moments where, like, you know, you can actually let the moment sit in, and I appreciate those things. The thing, it still feels like they don't know what to do with Braun Strowman. And, I mean, I'll ask both of you this question right now, because I feel like I was saying it earlier about we kind of already know who's going to be facing who in WrestleMania. But if you had to put your money on who Braun Strowman was going to wrestle in WrestleMania, could you do it? Would you feel remotely confident, like, on who you'd book a match for him with? Because I don't. I'd have no clue whatsoever.
No. If they're going to have the Andre Memorial Battle Royal again, I think that he would win that. If I was going to book it, that's what I would have him do.
Interesting. So basically, to try to build up the value, if you put, because did he not win it last year, or am I tripping? Or did I make that?
No, down? Baron Corbin won
Baron Corbin last year. Won last year. You're right. I'm sorry.
See how they messed up was they haven't been pumping Baron Corbin like I put out Braun Strowman, and then since they don't have anything for both of them, have those two be on a collision course in that thing, and they be the last two. And then Braun Strowman in the 50-50 world of WWE would get his win back and be able to say, hey, you know, I knocked off the defending champion, blah, 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 blah.
Right. That's the moment. Because, you know, they used to have some of these different belts and awards where it was a clear signal of, like, this is the guy who's next. And, you know, it's to your point, the Andre the Giant Battle, you know, the Memorial Trophy was kind of, I think, has the potential to be that. But it also feels a little weird to give it to Braun Strowman because it feels like he's already squashing and establishing himself versus the entire card. So, like, I wonder if you waste it on him unless you're just like, we want to be a put him on the platform to provide utter destruction and anarchy to the show, right? You know, and we've seen that previously with the, you know, Intercontinental title, to some degree with the U.S. Championship. But I don't know, man. I just don't have a great feel for what Strowman's going to do next. And, you know, maybe we end up getting him with Sami Zayn or, you know, something like that. But, you know, I don't know, man. Like, you know, I look at Samoa Joe and I'm just like, I like the fact that he was like calling out the fact that it took him 17 years to get to this point. And like, to me, that actually felt like really interesting because I could believe it. And it felt really, of course, really genuine. And, you know, I don't know if him working under Triple H's reign of terror, will that get a chance to ultimately come out versus just being a henchman of sorts.
Right. It's going to be interesting, yeah, because, I mean, I'm almost to the fact that I know everybody wants to be in WrestleMania, but if they don't have anything real good for him to do, Braun Strowman I'm speaking about, to your point, then it would be almost best for him not to do anything at all and just, you know, you know, because like you're saying, you want to try to keep it up. You don't want to put him in there against somebody that's going to expose him or you have to have him lose to.
Nah, it's very fair. Yeah.
Because WrestleMania, you know, you're not going to get too many screwy finishes. You're going to get, you know, for the most part, you're going to get finishes. So, you know, you kind of want to keep some people fresh. If you're trying to build these guys up, then don't kill them at WrestleMania, you know.
One other question. DD, how do you feel about our boy Braun? I feel like I've made you the fashionista of the pod now. Well, how do you feel about Braun Strowman's tank top, brown cargo pant, military boot game outfit that he's sporting on a weekly basis?
Well, you know, it's a holdover from his Wyatt family days, but does he really look like the type to, you know, go shopping? He doesn't. So, you know, I'm not mad at it. Could it be better? Yes. But I don't mind it.
Okay. Fair enough. Just curious. I'm like, you know, my partner was like, I'm gonna dress like that for Halloween. And I'm like, man, they will arrest you.
Does he have a beard like that?
He does. I actually have the closer beard of the two of us.
Yeah, but you have a girlfriend. Is he single?
Oh boy. I will put him on notice and let him know.
Well, before we move on to SmackDown Matters, our review of that, the WWE put the Rock and Roll Express on notice that they'll be going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Much deserved. Finally, they're getting in. I'm actually going to have a chance to probably see Ricky Morton tomorrow and actually shake his hand. So that'd be pretty cool. I grew up on them. They came in to Crockett Promotions 1985 on TV the first time in. It was a whole show on Saturday morning for an hour. And they beat Nikita Koloff and Ivan Koloff for the tag team championships. And I was in love with them ever since. So
that was the Crockett, yeah. That was the Memphis promotion, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
No, NWA, North Carolina, Charlotte.
North Carolina, my apologies. Yes, I should have known better. Yes.
Yes, sir. So, like I said, in all the circles of professional wrestling, everybody has always said they were one of the omissions from the WWE Hall of Fame to make it a more legitimate Hall of Fame. So, glad they got in. Hopefully they can wrangle up Jim Cornette to induct him and let Jim Cornette get behind a live mic, and hopefully he'll keep it in between the lines.
He won't. We already know the answer to that.
But you know what? I got a bone to pick. Yeah, I got a bone to pick with somebody else who everybody is calling the greatest of all time. Yeah, somebody who won a little game yesterday by the hair of his chinny chin chin. Yeah, someone who everybody's calling the GOAT. Well, you know what happens when you steal Chris Jericho's nickname? You know what happens when you call yourself the greatest of all time and you're not me? You know what happens? Tom Brady, you just made the list!
Oh my gosh.
All right, so like I said, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to our SmackDown Matters correspondent, #tag, Ms. DD Jonay.
Yeah, #SmackDown Matters.
I like that. Oh boy.
No, I'm joking. Of course we matter. So,
of course we matter.
This week was from the Key Arena in Seattle, Washington, which is Daniel Bryan's hometown. So, of course, he started the show. He comes to the ring, says he's glad to be home, blah, blah, blah. There's a yes chant because, of course, there is. The Miz and Maryse interrupt, and then there's some, you know, competing yes chants, and Miz told the crowd to shut up. And then they're talking about Elimination Chamber, and the crowd is still making life very hard for him. And then Baron Corbin comes out, and he tells Miz he talks too much. Miz says he and Corbin should work together at the chamber, but Corbin's like, nah, I'd rather take you out now. Miz tells Daniel to do something about Corbin, so Brian's like, well, don't punch the Miz in his face. So then Dean comes out, tells the Miz he looks like a shoe in his outfit. Ambrose tells Baron that he has a long way to go before he's gone even half the road. Ambrose has, because, you know, Ambrose has gone through some things. He used to look like, you know, an emo girl,
Very true. Yeah.
He's grown a lot. So then AJ comes out and he's like, the fact is he's beaten all of these people already. So who gives a shit? The crowd goes for him, starts chanting AJ Styles. He tells them to shut up. They keep chanting anyway. He's like, look, I only care about being champion and getting his title back on Sunday. And Miz starts saying something. So Daniel cuts him off. Long story, not so long. He makes a fatal four-way match for the main event. Oh, no, my bad. For right now. Sounds like that should be a main event match. Why'd they do that? Anyway.
Because Randy Orton versus John Cena has been promoted for a whole week. First
time ever. How dare you?
Completely.
Notice.
Well, listen, I'm very good at ignoring things I would prefer not to, you know, pay attention to.
That's what she always says.
I just don't care. Like, listen, I only have so much that I can give to things. Like, I can't give it to John Cena and Randy Orton. Like, I'm supposed to give it to All Lives Matter Orton. Look, you know what? No, not going to go on a rant. I just forgot about it. Anyway,
I've never heard these rants before. I would love to partake in the rantitude, if you will.
Trade secret, they usually happen before and after we record. Like, it gets bad. Don could tell you. Anyway, yeah, so this match that I actually don't care about, you know, Baron won. Whatever.
Hit the end of days on AJ Styles.
Boom. That's exactly how it happened.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, before that, AJ had hit The Miz with a phenomenal forearm, but Maryse pulled him out of the ring.
Can I just interject real quick and just say that I want to applaud Maryse for looking like the twin sister of Jeff Jarrett. I just want to say that she has gone so far to pay homage to Double J, and you know, she's come out and just held it down. And I'm just proud of her for doing that, and I'm allowing her to express herself in such a fashion.
Mm. They do look alike now that you say that. Like, they dress alike, and the hair is the exact same color, and I'm very mad that you'll put this visual in my head.
You're welcome. That's what
oh
I do.
Oh, gosh.
As I sit my old-fashioned, but yes.
Yes, old-fashioned?
Yes.
Hey, you got a man of culture on the podcast tonight.
I appreciate you. Our normal host would be drinking like Mountain Dew right now, so I do like the way you drink. Yes, yes.
As I stroke my two-tone beard. Yes.
Yes. See, but you chose. Anyway, there's a dual contract signing later that night with Alexa versus Naomi and Becky versus Mickey. These are all matches for the Elimination Chamber. But there is an interview with Tom Phillips and Nikki and Natty where it's like he's not in the room with either of them and they're not in the room with anybody, but they can all hear each other. One of those kind of things, you know, via satellite kind of zhuzh. So yeah, Nikki says some things. She calls Natty dead to her. Natty's like, well, Nikki has no friends, so who cares? She just has followers and employees. And then she says there's no amount of makeup that will cover up the damage that Natty will do to Nikki. And she would expose her as a bad wrestler. Mm-hmm. Nikki says, stop lying. Calls Natty a legit crazy cat lady. There's some back and forth. Natty says something about Nikki never having her own kids. And again, what is the bonus? Because you would never talk to me like that.
All up in her ovaries, talking about, you know, she'll never have her own kids. And if it wasn't for Nikki Bella, then John Cena would probably be trying to holler at her. Like, what the world?
Listen, that bonus better be astounding, okay? Because no. She says Cena's going to leave her. Yeah, it's awful. So then Nikki gets mad and she leaves. And she's like, there you go, running away like you always do. And again, what is the bonus? Because you know. But anyway, next match is Apollo Crews versus the Ziggles.
Wait. I'm sorry. I wanted you to finish before I stepped in. I just want to say that I applaud Natty and Nikki Bella for selling for Total Divas and Total Bellas. Like, I see what's going on here. It's just a work. And, you know, my DVR is set every night to watch the Total Bellas show, and so I can keep up with what's happening with the crew. And, yeah, like, this is all...
Now, is that because you want to watch, or is that because your girlfriend watches?
Look, don't get into semantics and the finer points in life right now. Like, the reality is like, you know...
That's a show that they both enjoy.
Exacto mundo. There are benefits to learning the finer things of the divas, now women, of WWE, and I'm here for equality purposes. So boom.
Okay, I'm not mad. I'm not mad.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe it is all to tie it back to the reality show. Again, what does that bonus look like for me? Because that's embarrassing to my spirit. But, you know, I'm poor. So maybe if it was like a $50 check, I'd be like, oh, girl, say whatever you want to.
Do we think that they have, I'm curious, Don, what you think. Do you think that the challenge, I think, to me about SmackDown has, since they did the brand split, is that I think the Raw has somehow struggled mightily everywhere on the brand except for the women's wrestlers, where they've created like real heat and like it feels like it matters a lot with Nia Jax and Sasha and Bayley and Charlotte. But like the on the women's side with on SmackDown, man, it's really, I feel like it's just really been a struggle, and maybe they feel like tying it to Total Divas is the way to go. But I also could be reading it really wrong because I'm paying attention to the wrong things on Total Bellas. What do you think?
No, the whole thing got messed up when Eva Marie got suspended for the PEDs, because everything was probably going to be revolving around her gimmick of being the non-wrestler but getting the belt somehow. And I think that that's what their original plan was. And then they kind of had to scramble after that. So they kind of had to scramble. And now they kind of like reset themselves. And I think they're on the right path right now with Alexa Bliss. I think she's the right type of champion.
Yes, a heel
champion. She can wrestle, but you know, her promos are really strong. Her attitude and charisma on the mic is really good. And so, you know, she's got the other stuff, the charisma, I guess, would be the total package word to say, to kind of carry the belt and help elevate the division. Because now people want to see the champion get beat, which is always what you want, you know, when you're leading up to these really big events.
And we need to see Naomi get the belt for Black History Month purposes. So I'm here for that.
There we go.
I mean, they'd be petty enough to make her lose it on March 1st. So, you know.
I mean, I don't even, I was saying this before the show, but like, you know, and if we don't want to do this now, but like, I've really been like really displeased in the direction of what they've been doing with Naomi, because I think she's actually capable of more, but it feels like they're just, you know, selling her up the river by getting all her dance moves out here in these streets, which is cool. Like, to a certain degree, I like the dance moves, you know, but at the same time, I just can't take her seriously at all. And I think the thing that, if I've been paying attention to what Naomi / Trinity really wants, is like, I think she kind of wants to be taken seriously. And like, this is like the furthest thing from it. So I actually would be totally fine with her having the belt for the whole month of February. And then on March 1st, before they go into WrestleMania, they just give it back to Alexa Bliss, and then giving us a card with Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch. And I'd be totally good. I'd totally good with that.
Dee, we'll let you talk about Apollo Crews, and then we'll get back into that after the, because the contract signing is after that. So go ahead and.
I'm messing up the entire menu of the show, my.
Oh, no.
I mean, if it makes you feel better, Apollo Crews won very quickly. Oh,
Black History Month.
With an asterisk, Ziggles attacked him afterwards with a chair, and then he hit him a few more times, and then the crowd was like, one more time. And then Cleese came out and, you know, tried to make the save, but Cleese still, you know,
just undersized, and yeah,
he don't have the range, unfortunately. So
yeah, he got overwhelmed.
Was able to catch him on the top rope, hit him in the back with the chair a few times, and then he turned around with his highlighted hair and walked away like the heel he is.
Do you like it? Are you liking it? Are you feeling it?
Do I like it? Have you met me? I love it. All of it. So before the contract signings, Daniel sees Ziggles backstage, and he's like, are you going to throw a tantrum every time you lose a match? And Ziggles says what any heel would say, which was, it's fun. And so he's like, well, if you want fun, I'll put you in a 2-on-1 handicap match with Cruz and Kalisto on Sunday, so have fun. But you know that's going to be on the pre-show, and I don't watch pre-shows, so I'm going to act like that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with her on this one all the way. Yep.
I be knowing. So, back to the contract signing. Renee's in the middle of the ring. She introduces everybody. Mickey comes out first with her little kinky music, then Alexa, then Lynch, then Naomi. Naomi gets to do her dance in her Dayglo outfits. And it's lit.
It is lit. It is so
lit. It's
lit.
I mean, I know you don't think so, but I promise it's
lit. It's literally lit. It's literally lit, yes.
It's literally lit in black lights. It's lit. Oh, my God. So, Mickey tells Renee she has more experience than everyone else in the room combined, and you can go. So Renee leaves. She says she's built the division on her back and says that Becky was trying to erase her accomplishments. Nobody knew them to begin with, but that's fine. It's okay. She says she's been waiting to return to get the credit she deserves. There would be no Becky Lynch without Mickey James. And she said the reinvention of Mickey James would start with the destruction of Becky V. Lynch, and then Mickey signs her contract. Lynch is like, I can't do the horrible Irish accent. But she's like, no, nobody's trying to do all that. And she respected Mickey up until she came back to team with Alexa. She called Alexa a troll. And since they're the same height, I say that's accurate.
Whoa, now. Hashtag 5 feet of fury.
She's 4'10", but that's fine. And she says that Mickey left the WWE when things got too tough. Which, how would that be accurate? Because there were no women in the division. Anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was a distraction. Anyway. Blah, 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 blah. Alexa says she didn't care when the revolution started, but it's her division as long as the title is hers. And she's about to sign the contract. And she's like, oh, I didn't even acknowledge Naomi. And she's like, oh, who cares? And then she signs her contract. And she's like, you are acting, you know, like I haven't beat you twice, girl. You acting like I'm going to snatch you bald. She's like, girl, the goal is to come into WrestleMania, into the hometown as the women's champion. And she says something else, but I don't quite remember. But what I do remember is that leg crossing that table and kicking Don's girl directly in her face.
It was a lot of thigh meat coming across that table. It was.
It was a whole lot of leg, just all of it.
Yeah, Alexa probably still feeling the glow.
That shit was sand splod. There were people who are not deep into wrestling. This girl, I think her real name is Fernanda. I could be making that up. She was like, who is this black woman with neon hair? And who did she just kick the life out of? And I was like, oh, girl, get into it. That's Naomi. She was like, I am inspired. Like, as you should be. So, yeah, that's how that ended. Yeah. Oh, there was a bra. Who cares?
As I put on Twitter, as a whole lot of black girl magic right there.
Okay. Because, see, it's what? Black History Month.
Oh, boy.
And then they're going to say, don't say we didn't give you nothing. The next match, the most surprising match of the night. It was a 12-man tag. The Ascension, the Usos, and the Vaudevillains versus Heath Slater and Rhino, American Alpha, and Breezango. Interesting that Breezango is now on, like, the face team, but that's cool. We like them. I could give you the whole rundown. It doesn't matter. I don't care. All you need to know is there was a shocker.
Oh, boy.
The Ascension, the Usos, and the Vaudevillains won. And even more shocking, could you believe it? The Ascension got the pin. Mm-hmm. Mind blown.
Yeah, Victor hit Rhino with the high knee off the top rope.
I was in the middle of tweeting, if you think, I think Victor is going to win anything. And I was like, well, shut my mouth. Couldn't even get the damn sweet out. I was like, oh, who knew?
Yeah, it was amazing.
I was just like, oh, that happens? I didn't know that happened outside of main event. Or even at main event, to be quite honest. I was like, I'm not mad.
Yeah, we have to see how many days it is before they get another win.
Oh, Lord. Who wants to do that count?
And it just might be 365 more days.
David Otunga is apparently on some episode of Criminal Minds. That's on
CBS.
Basic. I wasn't gonna. You know, they don't give us money. So
yeah, good for them.
Yeah,
good
for great. Them. Whoever they are, whatever.
Yeah, nice to use your wife as a way to get yourself on.
Well, they're not married.
Oh well, hey.
Term fiance. Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
Still fiance. Yes.
Life partner.
Common law by now, I'm sure.
I mean,
if they're in a state that recognizes that.
I'm very sure they're not. You know how people are. Keep that money.
Why would I do that on purpose? Yeah, no.
Right. Like, they were like, oh, no, no, no. We're just going to settle down in this little state right here. Oh, we're both from somewhere else. It's okay. Right here.
We don't talk about the punk days enough. I don't care if David Otunga has had a lengthy career in the WWE.
Oh, I'll never forget.
I mean, I feel like
I'll never forget.
The fact that this has never become a thing on the WWE airwaves is sad. And this,
I'm sure
like,
he won't forget. But I'll always remember.
Yeah, we should. I mean, and
I remember the hair.
I mean, how could you forget Hawaiian Silky's greatest creation? I'm just saying.
I remember the spiky hair. I remember his competition. I met Turtle. Oh, yes.
Oh, can you elaborate?
He was a boring, tall guy.
Okay, fair enough. All right, great.
Exactly how he seemed on TV is how he seemed in real life. Boring, and like he thought he was better than what he was. And it's like, baby, you are on a VH1 TV show. You're not. You know, this is not for the love of Beyonce. Like, calm down here.
for the love of Beyonce.
Because it's like, I love New York. I love New York more than they love New York. But let's be clear, right? So, but I met him, whatever. He ain't special. And then I think they said one of the other guys was on Judge Judy one time.
That's not a good thing.
I think he lost. Yeah.
More than likely, I'm sure he did.
I was sad I couldn't see it. I just saw a picture of it. I was like, God damn it, that is him.
Yeah, the alternative lives of wrestlers is always, I think, always almost more interesting. I mean, you know, getting to see Alexa Bliss being on a high school cheerleader cover, I feel like, was an entertaining sight. Just to see the metamorphosis is always a good thing.
Yeah.
You know? Or Rhino the Governor, of course.
Listen, if y'all's president can be y'all's president, why not? Listen, there's some things going on in my personal life at my job. And they were like, we're going to get a new boss. And so somebody was like, well, did you want to do it? And I was like, I don't qualify. They were like, girl, everybody qualifies now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you do not need a resume. You just need to be able to lie real good. Yeah.
Lie for what? Y'all's president didn't lie?
Mm.
Alternative qualifications. Yeah. That's what we call them.
Oh, boy.
He didn't lie about nothing. He was like, yeah, I don't know shit. But it's cool, though, right? They were like, yeah. It's nice.
That's exactly what we want.
You're like, sure. I mean, if I exactly don't know, why should you need to know? It's not like you're the president or anything. Oh, wait. Dumbass. But see, this is not a political show. I am so sorry. Anyway,
shout out to Linda McMahon.
Listen, at this point, she'd be the most qualified anything on his cabinet. So she ain't even in the cabinet. That's some other. Anyway, I don't know. This is wrestling. This is not politics. I just don't want to talk about this match because I don't care about All Lives.
I got you. I
certainly don't care about
John. Randy Orton versus John Cena. Ref takes a bump that allows Bray to get involved. At least the Harper coming out. He gives Bray a discus clothesline when Bray thought he had the mind control over him and he was going to leave. Then he counters an RKO, Harper does, and pushes Orton into an attitude adjustment from Cena, who gets the pin and gets the win.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's a distraction finish, though, so you should probably take a drink.
Yes, we all should.
Mm-hmm.
Sippingtons right now.
So, what y'all didn't see on SmackDown, on Talking Smack, because I know y'all don't watch some post shows.
That's right.
Because that's like, you got to break up a whole different screen or whatever. But they had Natty and they had Nikki Bella come out and do her interview and talk on the set, right? So she's talking or whatever. And then Natty comes out from the back, from wherever, and they get into it. They get into a brawl or whatever. And so Natty beats her down and gets her like underneath the table, and she pulls her arm and basically smashes her neck and her face and her head up against the glass table. And so they whisk Natty away, and then they have to like basically almost put like a neck brace on Nikki Bella. So
yeah.
So we have like Baron Corbin come in. He talks. So then the last person is John Cena. So John Cena comes up there. And y'all had Nikki on earlier. How'd she do?
Oh, fuck.
And then they actually have to show him the footage of what happened. What? And he's just like, Nikki's been having some issues with her neck and her arm. She's been having tingling or whatever. He's like, that didn't look good. He just didn't seem to care at all. He was like, he's like, she's tougher than I am. She's like, she fights her own battles.
Like, you're supposed to be like, damn, that's what happened. Let me go see how she's doing.
Right. So then he kind of
this short. Not well anyway.
So he talks about the Elimination Chamber or whatever. He talks about himself and AJ Styles. And then he finally goes, okay, this is my lot of energy time, but now I gotta go, check on people. So.
Shade.
Trash. He's awful.
Let me tell you something that's not awful, though. And Ed, this can help you out, too, as you're, talking about spending that loot. We're going to try to save you some loot. Visit CSPN.us. Click on the banner that says Keep Our Podcast Free. And fellas, you got 5 days, and ladies as well, to get 50% off of toys from Adam and Eve. And not just toys. You can buy loot, vibrators, condoms, all the things to make your Valentine's Day pop. And you can get it for 50% off. We're trying to save you money. We're trying to make sure you have a smile on your face. Hey, man, csvn.us, click on the link that says Adam and Eve. And before you check out, after you've gotten everything that you want and need to have a great Valentine's Day, hit them with that code, Didi.
Old toy.
And you can get 50% off your whole purchase. So make sure you and her have a great Valentine's Day through csvn.us and Adam and Eve.
Listen, just, I'm no CJ, right?
Yes, yes.
So I don't even try. Like, I can't.
But you do it perfectly. You come in when I ask you to, it's fine.
I just want to say
there's
that.
There's a joke in there somewhere. I'm just going to leave it right where it is.
Hey, look, after hearing that impressive read, I think everybody just wants to be like Al Snow at the end of the day for Valentine's Day. I mean, every day for sure. But you know what?
Right.
We're gonna do our best to pay homage to Al Snow. And, you know, if you get the joke, you get the joke. And if you don't, then what are you listening to this podcast for? So there it is.
So quick happenings on 205 Live. They announced that Tony Nese was injured during the big brawl, and he won't be able to wrestle in the Fatal 5-Way later tonight. So they're going to have a match between Mustafa Ali and Daivari to see who will be his replacement. Ali gets the win after hitting a tornado DDT followed by the inverted 450, and so he will be the fifth member of the Fatal 5-Way. Lindsay Dorado and Brian Kendrick. Brian Kendrick gets the Captain Hook or the Bully Choke and gets the win. He does a post-match interview with Aries. He calls out Cesaro, but it's Tajiri's music that plays. And, of course, Brian Kendrick is looking for the ramp to see Tajiri come down. He never comes down. He pops up from behind him, and he sprays him with the mist. So, yeah, Didi, I'm pretty sure that would have hurt your soul because those are two of your favorites.
Yeah, I don't like it when my faves fight.
Right. So then we have our Fatal 5-Way of Jack Gallagher, Noam Dar, Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali, and TJ Perkins to determine the number one contender for the Cruiserweight title, and they will receive a match at Elimination Chamber, Fastlane, coming up in a month. Cedric eliminates Noam Dar with a lumbar check. Noam Dar crotches Alexander, which leads to, after he's eliminated, which leads to TJ Perkins hitting the detonation kick, and then Mustafa Ali taps out to an armbar from TJ Perkins. That leaves just Gallagher and TJ Perkins. Gallagher gets the pinfall over TJ Perkins when he hits the running dropkick a la Daniel Bryan in the corner. At the end, Neville comes out to the ramp. Him and Jack Gallagher have a stare down, and that was the end of 205 Live. This was a really good show, actually. I thought that for once, the crowd was really into it, and maybe because they had like a dark match between The Miz and Ambrose, and like Daniel Bryan was a guest referee, so maybe that's what kept like the people into it. But I really thought that they showed out pretty good. The Cruiserweights, they just need to let them go crazy. They kind of wrestle like everybody else does, so it's nothing like special. Whereas if you watch the CWC, like every match was like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, like, oh my God, type of, you know, incredible type moves from each guy. And you haven't really seen a match like that from the Cruiserweights. And I think that's what would bring them up to a level in which everybody would fall in love. But we'll see if they can get there.
I think it'll be interesting too with like, I thought it was really good that the women's championship, they let Charlotte hold the strap for an extremely long period of time. And it like kind of created a hierarchy of power. And, you know, with all due respect to TJ Perkins, who I sadly really like his intro, and I'm mad every time it comes on because I get excited, and then I'm like, he's like one of the most boring people I've ever seen in my life. And then, you know, I have, you know, Rich Swann's hurt, and he has the belt, and I will even admit right now that I have Rich Swann's intro song is my ringtone on my phone. It's really weird because, like, I keep my phone on vibrate like most normal human beings, so, like, I don't ever hear it, but, you know, it's just, like, a thing on my phone right now, and it's like, Neville having the belt feels like he, you know, he's full heel. You know, he's doing a great job at like teasing the audience and not giving them what they want. And he's got just like the scraggliest Paul Pierce-esque beard going right now, which is grotesque and awesome. And I think the best thing that could happen is like let him carry it and let somebody pair against him that can match him. And I don't even know who it's going to be. I mean, I think the good thing is there's some comedic relief, and then there's other heels that maybe match up better against him. And but, you know, maybe the Fatal 5-Way, maybe the lead up to WrestleMania will help us determine who's worthy of giving us a worthy foe to what Neville's going to do. Yeah,
I think Jack Gallagher has the swag of it because of his like in-ring style, and just, you know, he's over with the umbrella. I think that he may be the eventual person
to he's the Bailey. I feel like he's the Bailey to Neville for what Bayley is to Charlotte, right? I think it's not that Bayley is necessarily comedic relief like Gallagher is, but it's just all the way on the other end of the spectrum, and it becomes a refreshing thing. You're like, oh, it's Jack Gallagher. It's great. Like, wonder what quirky shenanigans he's going to be up to next. And, like, every time I see a fatal five-way or in the tag teams, like, it's a 12 people in the ring, I'm just like, get that bullshit out of my face. Like, you know, like, if you get Gallagher by himself, it allows him to really showcase him. And you know, I would be here to watch that for WrestleMania, or at least for Elimination Chamber, or for whatever. Excuse me, whatever they end up doing next with Fastlane. Yeah. Whatever the pay per view is. I've had 7 old fashions. Who knows what I'm talking about?
So quick NXT rundown. Big Damo, aka Killian Dane, was all over the show. Him and Alexander Wolf, well, basically himself, beat the Bollywood Boys. He basically gave them the One Wing Angel and won the match. Basically, it was like a handicap match. He just basically took them both on. Alexander Wolf never tagged in. Our favorite, Liv Morgan, she beat Billie Kay. Peyton gets knocked off the ring apron. Liv does a roll-up in the bridge and gets the win. Then we get a Ty Dillinger promo where he says that, you know, he's never going to be a part of, you know, Sanity, even though they said that, you know, he is a part of them. They owe him. He tries to switch the subject to the Royal Rumble, but then he's attacked by Sanity. They beat him from the back. They beat him out to the ring. Ty's fighting him off, but Killian Dane gives him a big splash that allows Sanity to get the upper hand. Then Roderick Strong and No Way Jose come out to help Ty. Sanity retreats with Ty and his new best friend standing tall. Then Regal says there's going to be a UK heavyweight title defense next week between Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. Billy and Peyton come in. They talk about how Liv won the match. They said that she cheated. So Regal says next week he's going to make a match between Liv and a partner of her choosing against the Aussies. They hug and say she doesn't have any friends. We get the Heavy Machinery versus the Revival. Dawson pins Tucker Knight with a short DDT to get the win. The Revival cuts an in-ring promo, which they call out the Authors of Pain. The Authors of Pain come out to the ring. Revival retreats. Then once the Authors of Pain walk out, they're posing at the top of the ramp. The Revival returns and attacks them from behind, get in a few licks, and then they get the hell out of Dodge. Next, we get Bobby Roode and the Glorious Celebration, where he just comes and cuts the in-ring promo telling everybody he told him so, and that NXT will be bigger and better now that he's a champion. And then we get a 6-man tag between No Way Jose, Ty Dillinger, Roderick Strong versus Sanity. Killian Dane gives Roderick Strong a flying crossbody, and he gets the pin, and they win. So really the biggest thing that came out of this was the Authors of Pain. I got attacked by the top guys. That was pretty cool. Can't wait to see the Revival on the main roster. Hopefully that'll be after WrestleMania. So they might be headed towards a 3-way at the NXT TakeOver at WrestleMania. So we'll see how that goes. Real quick, we're going to run down some New Japan before we get into this Elimination Chamber preview. We had the big return matches. Basically, Suzuki Gun had attacked, invaded New Japan. So now they were challenging for all these belts on this show. So we had Tachi and Taka Mikanochu versus Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta for the junior tag team titles. Rocky and Trent Beretta, they hit the Sub-Zero and they maintained the titles. But after the match, Desperado and Kamatachu, they attack Rocky and Beretta, and they make their claim that they want to have a challenge at the belts next. We get Goto versus Juice Robinson for the NEVER Openweight title match. Goto retains his title after giving Juice the GTR. Actually, this was a very good match for Juice Robinson, a.k.a. CJ Parker, probably the best match he's ever had in his life. And shout-outs to Goto for bringing that out of him. We get Lance Archer and David Boy Smith, a.k.a. the Killer Elite Squad, versus Makabe and Hamna versus Yano and Ishii. It was a 3-way for the IWGP Tag Team titles. Yano hits a low blow on Makabe, then rolls him up to get the pin, and they retain the Tag Team titles. Then we had our main event, Minoru Suzuki versus Okada for the heavyweight title of the world. Okada escapes various leg submissions to his heavily taped knee. They had like a contract signing the day before. Suzuki attacked his knee, and his knee was all bandaged up coming into the match. So it was like a 40-minute match, and probably about 27 minutes of it was Okada trying to escape knee bars and various Boston crabs. But he finally does, and he hits 2 Rainmakers to get the pin and retain the IWGP heavyweight title. So that was New Beginning from last weekend. The New Beginnings from this weekend is going to have Will Ospreay versus Shibata for the Rev Pro heavyweight title. As soon as that comes out and there's a link, I will post that up underneath what we're watching, because that is going to be phenomenal. So now we're going to get into our pay-per-view preview of Elimination Chamber. This weekend, as always, we will be having a live tweet, and we will be using the hashtag EC Matters. That's hashtag EC Matters for the live tweet this Sunday. And of course, for the pre-show, we will always use our usual hashtag, say no to pre-shows. So we're going to play Who You Got, like we always do to preview our pay-per-view. So we're going to start off with what we're going to have is Becky Lynch versus Mickey James. I don't know if this is going to be pre-show or not, so I'm just going to list them all and we'll pick them. So Dee Dee, Mickey James versus Becky Lynch. Who you got?
I'm very indifferent to this, but I Becky's younger, so I guess I'll go with Becky.
All right. Ed?
Yeah, I feel like this is whatever the justification is of adding another, adding Mickey James to the roster. Like, if they really want to use her, then go on ahead and let her get this dub. Like, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily know what it means in the long haul, but, you know, it might make things interesting, but if they want to make her stronger, but I'll take Mickey James in the mildest of upsets, like Taco Bell hot sauce, mild sauce upset.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mickey James as well. I think she's going to need it. They're going to get going into WrestleMania season. Next match, Natty versus Nikki Bella. Ed, who you got?
I'm going to take Nikki Bella because Nikki Bella I'm thinking she'll have more to factor into as far as WrestleMania is concerned. And frankly, she needs it more than Natty. Natty doesn't really gain anything with the win because I don't see that they're going to use her in the future. So I'll take our girl Nikki Bella in another Taco Bell mild sauce upset.
All right, Dee Dee, what you got?
Bad guys are my calling.
Right. Natty Boo.
I have to.
This is a tough one for me. I'm going to go with Natty as well. I think she's going to cheat.
Probably.
Our next match is a handicap match. It's going to be Dolph Ziggler versus Kalisto and Apollo Crews. Dee Dee, who you got?
Ziggles.
That's really interesting. I think I'm going to go with it's interesting that y'all say that things matter on this show. So I'm going to go with Black History Month and Black Lives Matter, and we're going to include Kalisto into the crew because brown lives matter too. And we're going to
listen with his tan. Ziggles is brown too.
I mean, he is, but he's from Ohio, man, and we didn't win Ohio. So I'm like, you know, like that's
he's a Democrat.
I mean, he did bill himself from Hollywood, Florida. So, like, you know, that's like Jeb Bush country. So,
yeah, it's all very, you know, problematic, if you will. But,
you know, his name is Nick Nemeth. You know, I mean, I don't know if I can just trust, you know.
I know.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know. And the funny thing is, I like Dolph. I like Dolph.
Yeah, listen, these are alternate facts.
Oh, I'm going to go with Dolph Ziggler as well. I think he's on a hot streak right now, and they're going to keep it up.
Are we keeping score with this? Is this an actual thing?
This will be a game. You will get one point for every right answer. So during the live tweet, we will be keeping a running tally.
And if I lose, what are the ramifications?
Massive trash talk, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I can handle that. All right, cool.
My most difficult match of the night, Alexa Bliss versus Naomi for the SmackDown Women's title.
Be yourself, Don.
Ed, who you got?
It's okay.
It's the most underutilized talent on the SmackDown roster. I'm going to pick Naomi for doing it one time for Rosa Parks and Serena Williams and Claire Looper and anybody else that they can't get Sasha Banks to call out during Black History Month promos. We're going to go with Naomi to wear all the Oregon highlighter yellow after somebody got a 70 on the math test.
No. Dee Dee?
I clearly have Naomi.
Yes. I'm going to make it.
Look, who do you
I'm going to make it a clean sweep and go with Naomi. I'm going to go with
Is this because it's Black History Month?
I'm just feeling Naomi right now.
Yes. No, the answer is yes. It's absolutely because Black History Month. Yes. It's Black History Month. Yeah.
I'm feeling Naomi right now. I mean, ever since they finally put her back on TV, she's just been red hot. And so I got to go with her. All right, tag team turmoil for the SmackDown tag team titles. We're going to have American Alpha versus The Ascension versus Slater and Rhino versus the Vaude Villains versus Breezango versus the Trapped Usos. So, Dee Dee, who you got?
You said Breezango versus the Usos?
they're all going to be in the match. These are all the people. So I think what's going to happen is one team is going to start, and it's going to be like a gauntlet match. So, like, one team at a time.
Yeah, sure. Usos. I mean, probably not, but I don't know. Who cares? That'll probably be on the pre-show, too.
Ed, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I want to go with the blackest tag team in all of wrestling right now with the Usos, clearly. I mean, you know.
Don't do Jason like that.
What you mean? I mean.
He's a biracial butterfly.
He might be biracial. I said blackest. That's a totally different thing. Since it's Black History Month and Black Lives Matter, I'm going to go with the two dudes that constantly somehow are wearing Air Force One mids in the ring and their ankles are not in shambles. So I'm going with the Usos.
I'm going to go with American Alpha. I'm going to represent one time for the biracial butterflies, Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, the brother duo that Dee Dee has her speculations about.
Are they is Chad Gable by is that I don't know if that's the thing. Is Chad Gable also biracial or
no? His parents. Okay, here's the working theory.
Okay,
his parents are white, right? Both of his. They have the same mother, and his dad is black. That's my theory. I think they're siblings. Mm. Yeah, I do, because when they won the championship and there was like that row of family members there, there was only one white woman and there was a black guy. But the black
Three's
guy
you're saying it was Three's Company,
pretty much. Yeah, basically. But with two men instead of two women.
And like I had this epiphany, right? I was like, man, you know what? They should really start dressing more like Team Angle. And then all of a sudden it clicked on me like, oh, they dress like the Steiner brothers.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Their entire gimmick is basically the Steiner brothers adjacent with Kurt Angle adjacent of like Key and Peele. So yeah, like it's this weird like thing that they have going, and yeah, I really want to see if they could be evil, and that's really all I'm waiting for as far as they're concerned. And until they do that, I'm rooting for the Usos, because again, the blackest tag team. I would even go so far as to say they are the blackest tag team since Crime Time. Maybe is that too far of a stretch? I can't think of a blacker tag team than the Usos before then, but I could be off base.
I don't know, man. Yeah, Crime Time was a treasure.
Yeah, of course.
Especially when I got hooked up with John Cena and had him doing like borderline illegal stuff. It was great.
But now let's be clear: the blackest tag team of all time, and I wouldn't even call them a tag team, much more like a faction. You know, before Nation of Domination, but then. The Wolfpack, NWO Wolfpack, by far clearly the blackest faction of all time.
You're pretty epic. You're right.
Yeah, the red and black. I mean, Kevin Nash wanted to be black so bad. I mean,
you
know.
I used to think he was black. If you notice, I like to make white people black, especially if I like them. So
yeah.
I definitely thought he was black for a long time. Not all the way, just like a grandmother.
Yeah. Mm.
I definitely thought that.
Yeah. Just enough. I mean, he played basketball at Tennessee.
And cornbread and all that. Like, just that black.
Mm. One time to Shirley. I think he played with Allen Houston at Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken.
Tennessee, that seems awfully ethnic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have derailed this. I'm sorry. I'm talking about sports and stuff.
Somebody who's definitely not black, even though we thought he was down with us. Randy Orton.
Luke Harper. All lives Orton.
Dee Dee, who you got?
Well, you know I'm not picking Randy. Wait. But he's facing
Luke Harper.
Yeah, I got Luke.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really believe it, but I can't do all lives. Can't do it.
I'm going to take Randy Orton. I'm here for the Wyatt family ultimate breakup. And I don't see how that happens. I mean, that doesn't get stopped by Luke Harper winning or losing. So I'm going to take RKO doing some RKO shenanigans at the end. Yes.
I think I'm going to go Luke Harper too. I think he might actually somehow by hook or crook win this. Something may backfire on Randy Orton. Then we're going to get to our main event. We have John Cena, AJ Styles, Bray Wyatt, Baron Corbin, The Miz, and Dean Ambrose in the Elimination Chamber for the WWE World title. So, Ed, who you got?
Yeah, this is John Cena. I just also on the list of like blackest wrestlers in wrestling history. Now, it was only for a period of time, you know, from like 02 to like 05 or so, but like You know, I got to choose John Cena just again for Black Lives Matter, Black History Month. So I think he's the obvious choice here.
Yes, mm-hmm. The pit bull chain with the master lock around the neck, John Cena.
Yeah, and his jersey game, his jersey game was underrated, and we should have appreciated that era more. Although he was out here wearing like fraudulent like numbers on his made up jerseys, like he was out here wearing number 54 on purpose, and the only person I could think of to ever do that was Horace Grant, and we didn't take him seriously either with those egregious goggles. So, you know, like that's just kind of what we were getting with Cena. I have a story about John Cena. I'll be brief, but I actually got to interview him in Cincinnati years ago. And y'all must understand that I'm a husky guy. I'm 6'1", 6'2", 260, lot of pounds, whatever. And, you know, like, I remember meeting him. And I'm like, he was sitting down. And I'm like, man, he don't look that big. And then, you know, he stood up. And he still wasn't that big. I mean, I had like an inch or two on him. But I was like, yo, why are you wider than me but skinny? And I just didn't understand. And then, like, all his neck meat was just, like, you know, killing my beard game. And it was just like, this is kind of intimidating that, like, why is there a school bus in this room with me to do an interview? So, you know, he's really cool. And, of course, so also it's funny because, you know, he throws up his hustle, loyalty, respect. And I'm an alpha, and I thought it would be funny. I don't know if people know on the podcast, but I'm a member of Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. So, you know, we throw up this, you know, our little sign. You know, if you don't know about the sign, it looks like somebody throwing up the Hawaii, you know, pinky and thumb out, whatever. Cool. And so it was just so funny to hear so many people on my Facebook and Instagram timeline talking about, is John Cena a Kappa? It was like one of the funniest things I'd ever seen in my life. So I felt like that little experiment worked to perfection. And so now I just told hundreds of people that, yes, John Cena pledged K-side till he dies. And he shimmies behind the scenes. It's great.
I can see him shimmying, actually. Like, I can picture this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Didi?
Before I give my choice, piggybacking on John Cena and being black, Darren Young is his brother. The exact same face. Just visualize it. It is the same thing.
That's
especially
gonna haunt
when
me.
Darren had the afro, like, and was like mm-hmm. a little tanner, the same face. But I've been told that Bray Wyatt is supposed to win. That's what I've been led to believe, and I guess that's just what I'll go with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I believe it, but that's what I heard. So okay.
Little bird.
That's some Adrian Wojnarowski right there with sources.
You know, everybody wants to talk about the sources. I believe in a kayfabe life, but just this once.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think Bray Wyatt is going to get the title too. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be 5 years in the making. 3 WrestleMania and 2 years of NXT in the making.
Husky Harris, was that his name?
Yes, it was.
I'm glad that we have a lot of division when it comes to these picks for the pay-per-view to make. I'm trying to watch it while doing Valentine's Day shenanigans this weekend, all the more enjoyable. Yeah. Let me take your seat out, honey. Oh, my God, Cena. All right. Yeah.
Well, tell her to make her choices, too. And then, you know, bet on things. Bet on clothes. Yeah. Play strip. You know, Elimination Chamber.
She's going to just bet Beyonce every time. This doesn't really...
draws. Make it happen. I'm trying to be helpful here.
That is... Yeah. I didn't need wrestling to do that, but I might have to use
saying,
your promo
code.
Make
it work for you as a couple.
Yeah, I could. Although she's not here for... She will do other things with me or my money or both if I make her watch wrestling for 4 hours. So, you know.
See, now, I don't believe in 4 hours because, see, I don't watch pre-shows. So it's always 3 for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I only need like 15 minutes. Wait, what are we talking about?
I'll be here all weekend, folks, for the pre-shows and the main shows. Hashtag again for the Elimination Chamber of the live tweet. The hashtag is going to be hashtag EC Matters. So at this point, we'll ask our guest, Ed, you know, promote yourself, let people know where they can follow you on Twitter if they're not already following you on Twitter, where they can find your work, your writings, your podcast, let the people know, you know, what you do out here, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, first off, I want to say, you know, I'm really humbled and honored to be on the show. You know, it's funny, we've had this, you know, relationship that's kind of revolved around each other for a long time because, you know, Twitter and social media is a beautiful thing. So really thankful to be on with you guys. And, you know, the network does a lot of great things working with Sarita and Chelsea and the WrestleCast and everything. It's just all really dope. So again, just glad to be a part of it. as far as what we're doing right now, you know, I've been blessed to start a movement called the Sports Fan Journal. The Sports Fan Journal has been rolling along for over 5 years now. We were just celebrating recently. I was on the phone with Justin Tinsley, you know, alum of TSFJ. He's now writing on the Undefeated, and he's doing great things. And, you know, the biggest thing I'd plug right now, you know, outside of the fact we have dope-ass content and dope-ass writers doing dope-ass things, is that we need more creatives. We need more writers. We need more editors. We want people that want to create content, podcasts, and video. I think we're trying to give more and more people a platform to do just that. And, you know, as someone who's, you know, looking at what our nation is right now, like, it ain't going to happen unless it's for us and by us. So that's what we've been doing since 2011. We're going to keep doing it for a long time. So hit me up. Follow me on all social media at Ed the Sports Fan, EDTHE Sports FAN. And you can follow me at the very narcissistic email, which is ed@edthesportsfan.com as well. And as always, like, you know, get up with me because, like Reggie Jackson says, I am the straw that stirs the drink. So let's drink up and be merry.
I got one question before I let you go.
Yes, sir.
You going to bring the obituaries back?
Man, you know what? I had a general rule about the obituary in that I would write an obituary if I was actually watching the game, right? And so I would get requests to write obituaries, and I'm like, I ain't going to do it because I ain't see it. So, like, and the hook of the obituary was to write it immediately and get it out. Like, you know, a lot of times I remember you know, sometimes people start hitting me up like, yo, obituary, and I would be watching the game. And, you know, I could get it up. If it was happening in the first quarter, I'd have it up by halftime, and it'd blow up, and it'd do really well. But you know what? Unfortunately and fortunately, I'm doing a lot of work with Fox Sports Digital, and, you know, they've given me the ability to be an editorial producer, and we're creating video content for Yard Barker. And so I'm trying to get our own show off the ground, so that's been taking up more of my time. And but if that show gets rolling, then, yes, I will bring the obituaries back because I'll have the free time to be able to do it. So let's cross our fingers, and hopefully I can put some people in the ground in a satirical fashion. Did I tell you? Oh, did I tell you that I had Josh Evans, who used to play for the Florida Gators and was signed actually by the Jacksonville Jaguars? I wrote an obituary about him, and his family hit me up talking about, if we see you, we're going to whoop your ass. Like, that was a real thing. And, like, how dare you put that on my son or my nephew or something like that? And I was like, clearly satirical. Like, this is not real. Like, this is, like, we are cracking jokes. And, like, I understand. You know, I actually thought, I was listening to some on my radio, they were like, is anybody above taking criticism? And because, like, you know, I actually kind of agree with Donald Trump in the fact that he doesn't like it that people are making fun of him on, like, Saturday Night Live and things like that. But every president gets roasted on Saturday Night Live. And, you know, generally when you're in a public sphere, like, you're open to criticism or satire in this case. And so on one hand, I understood his family being really protective, although they were making death threats. But on the other hand, I'd like to feel like if I was in that position, I would just treat it as a sign of respect that somebody took the time to crack jokes on me in that way. But to each his own. And unless his family puts me out of commission, then maybe I will do another obituary or two here in the near future.
Oh, man, because Brandon Knight. Oh,
yes. Brandon Knight. Never forget Brandon Knight not only got put on the Summer Jam screen by Kyrie Irving in the rookie sophomore game when his ankles turned into linguine and balsam wood and pixie sticks and baby poop in front of a live studio audience, but then also DeAndre Jordan. You know, DeAndre, man, his parents is watching this. Man, I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah, upper room. The upper room. Yeah, you know, it happened. And that was really sad, although I got all the jokes off. And, you know, there's so much funny things happening. You know, you might have inspired me to maybe do it a little bit more. So we'll see what I can get done.
Oh, that's what's up, man. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate you having you tonight. Dee Dee, your shout-outs?
Shout-outs to Ed for being on. Shout-out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout-outs. And J.K. Rowling sent her something. Like, Mel is low-key famous. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all know. Like, she popping in these streets. And then shout-out to nobody else.
Oh, that was an impressive
song pop.
Smacking of tongues right there. Yeah, that was like elite level. That was like EF5 tornado pop right there. That was elite.
Yeah, I'm sorry if that's loud in your headphones, but yeah.
I can't hear you. What'd you say? Yeah.
Skill set.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah, that's it. Don't.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to Sam, of course. He'll be back next week. Give a shout out to Didi and Ed for joining me tonight. Give a shout out to Jerobi of the Wrestlecast, Greg, a.k.a. Magnum Prime. Follow him on Twitter, at Magnum Prime. Of course, give a shout out to the Vince McMahon CEO, the chairman, Mr. Classic Materia. Give a shout out to Mel, of course. I'd like to give a big shout out to my man. He's out there hurting right now. At Be Like Dante, Jeremy, it's Falcons. Mm.
Falcon, I mean, they used to hurt, man. I mean, look, man, this is.
He thought it was different this time, though, man. This was for the culture. This wasn't just for the Atlanta Falcons fans. This was for the culture, look, the country, the liberal, look, the progressive, man. The, you know, Black Lives Matter and include everybody with her.
Yeah. This was all wrapped up in this. This was like actual facts versus alternative facts. Like, this was deeper than
this. This is Don Lewis versus, you know, Steve Bannon. This is weird business. As Dusty Rhodes would say. And so, yeah, he's hurting. He's still with us, barely. But
barely. He had to take a week off.
Yeah, him, because him, you know, Dan Chrism is a Saints fan, and he's not going to let him escape it. So, you know, they're going to be super petty when they come back on their show. But, you know, I just, Jeremy, I'm thinking about you, bro. I don't know if I could ever recover from that happening. I thought Carolina losing on a buzzer beater almost took me out. They almost had to take me out of Dean Dome on a stretcher. I can only imagine losing the Super Bowl like that.
Y'all don't get enough of loving these teams. It's not good for y'all.
Again, everybody, you can follow me at Don DeLaRente. You can follow the show at The Wrestlecast. You can also use the hashtags Rawcast and SmackDown Matters on Monday and Tuesday, respectively, for our live tweets. And this Sunday, again, hashtag EC Matters. So if there's unless there's anything else, anybody else wants to sneak in really quick? Oh, we heard some news that Paige may be coming back in like the spring, and I'm just like, what for? I don't really want to see Paige.
Yeah, I thought she got fired.
I thought she got fired too, but apparently not. I think they just had some, you know, disagreements with her and her. She got suspended again.
For so she's just been trailing the world with her married fiance. You know what?
Yeah.
Alternative facts.
Yeah,
I'm that's so happy for her.
And apparently, like, he's been teaching her, like, you know, some MMA. So, you know.
She needs to teach him how to go file for divorce. You know, again, none of my business. None of my business.
Yeah, check out the new Slay for all the tea when it comes to that type of stuff. But again, for Dee Dee and for Ed and yes, also sir. Our normal host, Sam at Rag Sheets, this is Don DeLaRente, and this has been episode 120 of The Wrestlecast.
Allow me to introduce you to the hottest free agent of the new era and soon to be member of the Raw roster. He's held titles all over the world. He is the Samoan submission machine. Samoa Joe!
So let's get on with it, Joe. We have a contract here for you.
This way without your typical enthusiasm, you know, is it because you're upset because you weren't the one to actually bring Samoa Joe into the fold? Is it because your ego is getting in the way and clouding your judgment, or are you just upset because once again I had to do your job for you?
Stephanie, I've been a big fan of Samoa Joe's for many years, and I've pushed for him for a long time. I just don't particularly care for the way he went about getting his WWE contract or for the people he's associating himself with. It took me 18 years to be standing in this ring right now. And in those 18 years, when you claim to be such a big fan of mine, one man opened the door and gave me an opportunity. And if loyalty to that one man means coming out here, beating up Seth Rollins and putting him on the shelf, so be it. In fact, I'm putting your whole locker room on notice. I will beat down your heroes. I will choke them out.
And then when they wake up, I will beat them down all over again. Because the destroyer has arrived, and there is nothing you can do about it. You're out here talking real tough, making a lot of threats, Joe. I figured I'm out here now. Won't you threaten me? Matter of fact, I don't think we ever met before. My name's Roman Reigns. And I'm the baddest man to step foot in the WWE. So the moment you sign that contract, that means you're in my yard. So I'm gonna give him two choices, Portland. He can either shut his mouth, or I'm about to cave it in.